I'm realizing as I go through back through some of these lessons, which in fact this workbook makes you do, that we've gone over a lot of information that we might not be aware of, by the way. And we're going to see that as we move through this workbook. Matter of fact, lesson number 3 in this workbook, I'm going to take at least 3 or 4 sessions on, because this is very important. Important things to know and to get down. And then as we get these down, they will all make sense. Koine Greek is not easy. That's a matter of fact. Yet it is the language of the New Testament which God Almighty used. So that to me is enough. That's enough for me to have a burning desire to want to know this language. And that's how I'm going to operate. And I'm going to do this no matter what. I've committed myself to do this. It's nice to have you all here, by the way. I better get off that sidebar and get on to something else. So I'm glad that you guys are all here tonight. It's nice to see all of you adult people that are here that, decided to be here on a Saturday night. Of course, I don't know what you guys would be doing on a Saturday night anyway, seeing that we're sons of God and we're not party people of the world, at least anymore. So then, let's open up with the Word of God, with a prayer, I should say. On a date. Okay, or else on your date. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you might enlighten our minds, strengthen our minds, strengthen our resolve, help us to understand this language that you chose to promote your awesome scriptures, the Word of God that you put above your very name according to the scriptures. And we just all here tonight, as frail human beings, want to know more about this language so that we can know more about your word. And we pray that you might look down upon us. We know that you've had mercy upon us abundantly through your Son. We know that. This is just so that we might understand your awesome and eternal word the more. So we pray that you'd be with us tonight. Be with us in health and in mind and diligence as we study the Koine Greek of your precious and awesome New Testament. In the name of our Lord and Savior in Christ, Jesus our head. Amen. Alright, so let's turn to chapter 3. Thank you. Sorry I spoiled your dates tonight. Let's turn to chapter 3 in the workbook, okay? And so what we're going to have to do is you're going to have your text too. For those who do not have these texts, what I'm working out of, or what we're working out of, all of us, is we are working out of a textbook that I got from a North Carolina Theological Seminary, which was written by one of the instructors there, and I happen to have had communication with his friend, who actually was an author of the Byzantine Greek text. He was one of the two authors that put together this Byzantine Koine Greek New Testament. And he recommended his friend's text, which I got. His name is Professor David Allen Black. And then from that, we eventually got a workbook that goes along with it. With that workbook, I decided to call up the university and I got all the answers to the workbook. I had to sign a release, so that if I or any of you give out these answers to any students in North Carolina, I guess they're gonna lock us up or burn us up at the stake in North Carolina, not too far from Ron there and Tony, so they won't have far to go in the paddy wagon. So we have the text, we have a workbook, and we have all the answers, and all we need is diligence and time. So that's what we're doing. And then I told, I tell you folks that as we go through this in your workbook, that's comforting. Thank you. as we go through this workbook, we have all the right answers, 100%. And so each time we finish a chapter in this workbook, you can go back to it and study it because you have all the answers. And then what you can do is all of the answers are, in fact, in the textbook. And so, you know, just like taking any college course, yeah, like let's say chemistry, well, all the answers are in that chemistry book. It's just a matter of you figuring it out, studying it out, and taking the tests and go about getting a grade and such. But that's more or less what we're doing. So there might be 17 pages in the workbook to cover. Tonight I'm going to cover page number 12, 13, 14, and 15 tonight. And we'll cover four pages a time. I'm possibly going to have another lesson next week. We can keep on going. As long as I have the time, I'm going to do this. So let's turn to page 12. Page 12 in your workbook. Questions and answers, I'm going to go back to the textbook so you'll see where this came from. Like, we can go all through all these answers. I can go blah, 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 and you can go yeah, 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 and you might not know why we got the answer. So some of these answers, we're going to go back into the textbook to prove where we got them from, okay? Great, okay. Page number 12. It says matching. Match the proper terms to its definition. Okay, in the Koine Greek we have something called amalgamation. And amalgamation is E. The answer is E. A phonological change that occurs when the future time morpheme sigma is attached to the stem of the verb. Now we know that we have different tenses. We have present tense, future tense, pluperfect tense, aorist tense. Well, to form a verb, Koine verb, into the future tense, an amalgamation has to occur. And you add a sigma to the root form of the verb, and then you add a suffix to that, and you get the future tense, like this. I love, or I am loving in the present tense, or I will be loving in the future tense. That would be an example. All right, so number two, the simple present use of luo. That's how you pronounce that, luo. And the answer to that is K. The present tense of the Koine Greek form luo is I loose. All right, luo is in the present tense, first person singular, and it means I loose. All right, so number two is K. Number three, the present active principal part. That would be I. The answer to that is I, and the answer is the first person singular form of luo. While the present active principal part is always the first person singular form. And that is said in the answer, I, the first person singular form of luo, which means I loose. All right? Number four, conjugation. We're talking about Koine Greek verbs here. Conjugation is H. The term refers to a related pattern of verbs. What is a conjugation in the Koine Greek? It's a related pattern of verbs. That's what a conjugation is. Number five, future time morpheme. The answer to that is J. Sigma. Sigma is the future time morpheme that you use. A morpheme is the most simplest part of the Koine Greek language, and the letter sigma is used to form the future tense. So that would be a future time morpheme, or a future time smallest part, and it's the Greek letter sigma. And we'll see that as we go also here. All right. Number six, IM, is the answer is C, the translation for the most frequently occurring verb in the mu iota conjugation. We learned weeks and weeks and weeks gone by that there are two major conjugations in the Koine Greek verb system. One is the omega conjugation, which is definitely most prominent. And then there is the mu iota conjugation, which is a lot less prominent. And so we have two major related patterns of verbs in the Koine Greek language. The omega conjugation of verbs and the mu iota conjugation of verbs. And I am is under the mu iota conjugation. So the answer is C. Alright, number seven is A. Primary active suffixes. Suffixes are endings put on Koine Greek forms. And we notice that the primary active endings are, in the singular, they're omega, ace, and a, as far as the first, second, and third person singular are concerned. And in the plural, there are men, te, and usin in the first, second, and third person plural. So the primary active suffixes in the Koine Greek verb system are o, ice, or o, ace, a, men, te, usin, or usin, I'm sorry, usin, actually. It's not iota, it's iota. And epsilon iota is a diphthong that's pronounced a, as an ace. All right, number eight. Internal subject, the answer is F. The subject of the verb included within its verbal structure. The answer is F. And again, you know, again, you put down the correct answers and you just go over it and have these things soak into your mind. And you know, what we're studying and these questions and answers and our studying, it's pretty intricate, you know. Sometimes I wonder, well, why are we getting so intricate? Because all of these intricate things lay a really good foundation. And if you do the work, you're going to have all of these foundational things in your mind. And so you'll be experts at the language. And so when somebody mentions something about this fairly complicated language, you'll have it in your mind. You've heard it before. And if nothing else, your mind will have heard it before. That's important, I think. I believe that myself. Number nine, copulative verb. What is a copulative verb? Well, it's G, a verb that links the subject to the predicate, a copulative verb. The answer is G. Number 10, a connecting vowel is B, an additive letter that function as a phonological cushion between a verb stem and a suffix. And we know that we add the suffixes, as seen in A, the primary active suffixes, to the end of verbs in order for us to gain the knowledge of a verb being in which person, whether it's singular or plural. And sometimes a connecting vowel is added in between the stem and the suffix in the Koine Greek. And so that, you know, those words are a fact. It's just a matter of us understanding what we're talking about. The last one, number 11, the future active principal part. The answer is D, the first person singular form of Lusso. And what Lusso means is I will loose in the future tense, because you see there that a sigma is placed in between the stem, Lu, then you have a sigma, and then you have an omega, which is the first person singular. So you have Lusso, I will loose, if that makes sense to you. Alright, so I hope that makes sense. You have all the correct answers to that. And now we're going to move on to page number 13, multiple choice. And what we're going to do here for some or most of these is we're going to go back to the text, okay? So you guys get your text out, okay? We're going to go to the text, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3 in the text, which starts on page 17 of your text. All right? That's chapter 3. That's what we're working in. All right, number 1. In the indicative mood, the primary tenses deal with... The answer is D. Both present time and future time. Let me say this again, because we know that we have mood in the Koine Greek, and we know that there is a number of moods, but in the indicative mood, which we've gone over that a number of times, that mood puts forth the present time and the future time. Yeah, on page 17. Look on page 17, everybody. On page 17, under mini lesson 18, it states the primary active suffixes. And we learned those as being answer A in the last, on page 12. It states, you will recall that the Koine Greek primary tenses are the present, the future, the perfect, and the future perfect tenses. All right, there are 7 tenses, and the primary tenses in the Koine Greek are the future, the present, the future, the perfect, and the future perfect. All right, and in the indicative mood, the primary tenses deal with the present or future time. And see, it's important for you to understand this really well. Okay? It's important for you to understand what I just read. It goes on to state, it says, whereas the secondary tenses are orientated to the past. All right, so you have 4 tenses in the Koine Greek that are orientated to discuss the present and future. And then you have 3 tenses in the Koine Greek that are orientated to discuss the past. You have to let what I said kind of soak into your brain. All right? goes on to state on page 17, the Koine Greek has a separate sets of person number suffixes for the primary tenses and for the secondary tenses. All right, so each of these tenses has different person number suffixes, and we've noticed that in past lessons. Only the primary suffixes will be of concern to us in lesson number 3, in the active indicative. And then it goes on to state what these suffixes are, and we've already seen that in an answer A on the previous page. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. It's got to soak into your mind. But it all does make sense. Okay. Number 2, the future time morpheme sigma is equivalent to the English word to the English word will. And when you're talking about the future, you're saying I will do something, not I am doing something. So when in the Koine Greek you add the future morpheme sigma, and that shows that you're talking in the future tense and future time. So that's C. Number 2 is C. Number 3, when one of the consonants, P, beta, or phi, amalgamate, we saw what amalgamation was, with the future time morpheme, sigma, they combine to form which consonant? And the answer is C. That's C. Now we can look on page 19. This is where this comes from. You look on page 19, and you look at the bottom of the page under mini lesson 20, and it states down there, when P, beta, and phi are added to the future morpheme sigma, they form the double consonant C. This is a rule. So it's a rule of amalgamation in verbs. All right? You're just gonna have to take this in, learn it, and try to see it in your interlinears. Just do it. All right? Don't worry about it. Just read it, try to learn it, and do it. All right? So the answer to number 3 is C. Number 4, when one of the consonants kappa, gamma, or chi amalgamate with the future time morpheme sigma, they combine to form which consonant? And the answer is B. C. B. And we can find the rule to that on page number 19 also. On the bottom of the page, it says when kappa, gamma, or chi combined with the future morpheme sigma, they combine and they form the double consonant chi, or z actually, it's like wax, z, alright? So the answer to number 4 is B. Alright, and then just another form of amalgamation in number 5, it states, when one of the consonants, tau, delta, or theta, amalgamate with the future time morpheme sigma, they combine to form which consonant? And the rule is that the tau, delta, and theta drop out, and that's actually on page number 20. That's the rule there. Alright, and see, the thing of it is that these are some pretty tacky rules, but they're seen in the Koine Greek verb system when we're forming the future tense of verbs. That's what this is all about. All right, what you're going to have to study and figure out. Okay, so number five is D. The tau, delta, and theta dropout. Number six, the phoneme that is actually added to the third person form of a verb is called be, a movable new. And that answer is on page 20. If you want to look at it, you look up about two-thirds of the way down in the paragraph, and it says, finally, the phoneme new is sometimes added to the third-person plural suffix usi, especially before a word beginning with a vowel or at the end of a clause or sentence, as in luusin anthropos, anthropus, they loose men. This usage is called the movable new. Page 13. Okay, I'll go back. That was six is B. The answers, one is D, two is C, three is C, four is B, five is D, as in David, six is B, as in Bob. All right, number seven, slightly differing forms of a morpheme, as an example of usi or usin, are called B, allomorphs. Allomorphs. All right, and we just take that for what it is. So seven is B. Number eight. It is possible for a present active indicative verb. Oh, is it possible for a present active indicative verb to denote? Or it is possible. Pardon me. For a present active indicative verb to denote what kind of action. And when we're talking about action of a verb, we noted that last time it's called the aspect, and we're going to be going into a little bit of aspect again tonight. And the answer to number eight is C, both. The present active indicative verb can denote aoristic action or imperfective action. And again, even though this is a lot to take, it makes sense, and we're just going to keep on going. You've been over this a bit in past lessons, so you should have got a little bit of taste of what we're talking about. The kind of action, like let's say an author, he wants to tell you about a kind of action in a verb. Well, that's called the aspect. That's called aspect. We'll take that for what it is and keep on going. So the answer to number eight is C. Number nine. It is possible for a future active indicative verb to denote what kind of action. And the answer is again C, both. A future active indicative verb can denote the aoristic and the imperfective kind of action or kind of aspect. And lastly, what voice is the Koine Greek ami or I am technically spoken in? And the answer is D, in no voice. We know that that ami is a mu iota conjugation, a conjugation that is less prominent. And according to page 22, look on page 22, that the answer is on page 22. It's talking about the conjugation here of I am. And if I can't find it, you're just going to have to take... Oh. All right. What? Oh, I see. Okay, let's read, thanks, Diane. On the top of page 22, the present indicative of a me, and that's how you pronounce this, as we go, also too, very important when we look at these forms, like we look at, on the top of the page there, it says the present indicative of a me, you should look at that, you should say, well, the epsilon iota is pronounced a, as in ace. It has a smooth breathing comma over the second vowel, and then it has an accent over the iota, and it's pronounced a-me, and it's very important to do that to yourselves, in your minds, at least in your minds or out loud. It's pronounced a-me, and I'm going to try to pronounce every form correctly. If I make a mistake, I'm going to go back and pronounce it correctly again, and then I'm going to say that is the correct pronunciation because I'm going to make mistakes over this wire. But I will catch myself, and I will go back and say this is the correct way to pronounce this because it's very important for you to understand how to pronounce. We're going to try to learn this as perfectly as possible. So the present indicative for I am in the Koine Greek is pronounced ami, I am. And you'll notice it says, as already observed, the most frequently occurring verb of the mu iota conjugation is a me, or I am. Grammarians label a me a copulative verb from the Latin copulo, I link together because it links the subject and predicate as in 1 John 1:5. Ha theos phos estin. God is light. Since a me expresses a state of being rather than an action, it neither has active, middle, or passive voice. So there's the proof of what I was saying, that number 10 is D. The voice in the Koine Greek verb a me, is spoken technically in no voice. All right, so that's the proof of it right there. All right? So just so that you understand that. And I suppose that would make the mu iota, at least of mu iota conjugation, at least of ami, at least ami, however, for you to understand it doesn't have a voice. Okay, and I am is a pretty important verb in the New Testament. All right, so so great. So now we go on to page 14. All right, and if I don't know how much time I have, but how much time do I have? Does anybody know? 15 minutes. Okay. Well, as much as you need, All right. Well, we'll keep on going. All right. Page number 14. We'll get through page 14. And then see where we're at. All right, true and false. Number one, the connecting vowel is sometimes referred to as a neutral morpheme. The answer is true. And see, what I'm going to do here for these true and false is I'm just going to give you the answers, and you are going to have to look back into your text to prove the answers. All right? Like we opened up this is a lot of work, all right? It's a lot of work for me. I'm no Albert Einstein either, so, but I kind of think it's neat, so. I know I said that about 2 billion times already, so. So then, number one is true. Number two, when an external subject for a verb is given, the internal subject is translated first. That's false. The answer to that is false. And that answer you'll find in the text in chapter 3. I'm not going to go to that. Number two is false. Number three, person number pronoun suffixes include masculine, feminine, and neuter gender. That is false. All right? Number three is false. You're going to have to, again, go back to the text. Number four, the copulative verb ame expresses a state of being rather than an action. Actually, we just read that. The answer to that is true. Number four is true. Number five, the negative oo is usually used with the indicative mood. And the answer to that is true. Number five is true. The source of a verb is always its future form. The answer to that is false. Number six is false. And, you know, again, go back to your text. Number seven, negatives come after the form to which they refer. The answer to that is false. That's false. Number eight, the allomorph usine is more emphatic than the allomorph usi. The answer to that is false. Number eight is false. Number nine, when added to a form, a neutral morpheme does not affect the meaning of a verb. The answer to that is true. Number nine is true. Number ten, in the sentence, Jesus loses, the word or form Jesus or word is considered an external subject. The answer to that is true. And so we'll go over this again. Number one is true. Number two is false. Number three is false. Number four is true. Number five is true. Number six is false. Number seven is false. Number eight is false. Number nine is true. And number ten is true. And I'm going to leave the work of going back into your text. Somebody got 10 for 10. Well, that's great. You know, that means that you did some work. It doesn't really matter how you grade for any of these quizzes, just as long as you have the correct answers and you go back and you can find out, you can go back and find out why things are happening, all right? That's, you know, it's going to be a lot of work for you, but no work, no knowledge. That's a fact. Okay, so let's go down to short answer. And this is interesting, okay, because now we get back to a little bit about what we learned about Koine Greek words, or words. Yeah, now we get back, that was a mistake, now we get back to what we learned about Koine Greek verbs. Verbs. That's what we're studying in chapter 3. Koine Greek verb forms, okay. Now, as far there are six elements identified when parsing a verb. Well, what does parsing mean? And you know, this is really cool, because what parsing means is this. Parsing means to analyze a Koine Greek sentence or phrase into its component parts and describe their syntactic roles. Wow. This sounds pretty edumacated, right? Well, we know that parsing is where you analyze the Koine Greek and you break it down into its component parts, right? Well, that sounds pretty cool. If we will learn how to do that, you know, that sounds like some pretty awesome stuff. And then it describes their syntactic roles. Well, what is syntax? Well, syntax is the arrangement of Koine Greek forms or words in the English and phrases to create well-formed sentences. So when we are parsing a verb, we are analyzing the component parts of each phrase and sentence, and we're breaking it down, and we're understanding their syntactical roles. That means that we're breaking them down and we're understanding what their roles are in these phrases. And that's what we want to do. That's what translation is all about. So when it comes to verbs, when we parse something, when we parse a Koine Greek verb, that's what we're going to do. And how we do that is this way. It's by six elements that we've already gone over. But we'll go over them again, and again, and again, and again. And so, what are we saying? We're saying that in order for us to analyze a Koine Greek verb, we have to know this. We have to know its person. We have to know its number. We have to know its mood. We have to know its voice. We have to know its tense. And we have to know its aspect. We went over all of those many times before, but now we're starting to understand why, you know, what the heck do we have to learn four moods for? What the heck do we have to learn three voices for? What the heck do we have to learn seven tenses for? And why do we have to learn three different aspects? Because all of these elements, and why do we have to understand the person and number of the verb? Because when reading the Koine and you run into a verb, in order for you to understand it, this is what you're going to have to do. So, if you guys are into fun, as I know, looking at all of your names, you are, this is what you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn person, number, mood, voice, tense, and aspect if you're going to be a expert at analyzing verbs in your Koine New Testament. Now, I'm saying to you that you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And it just takes work, work, and work. Alright, great. So the six elements again are person, number, mood, voice, tense, aspect. And we went all of, over all what these things are, but you know, we can go over them again, over them again, over them again, until you kind of spew them out of your mind, until you're tired of it. You know, that's what pros do. You know, you, I do get into some sports, at least watching it. And these pros, they practice so much that they're sick of it, and then they say, we don't want to practice anymore. Where we want to go, we want to play, and that's, or we want to do, and that's, I think that's applicable to this. All right, number two, the term aspect refers to the view of the action of a verb that the author, I'm going to choose the word, that the author chooses to present to the reader. I'll read that again. The term aspect, one of the six elements of parsing a verb, refers to the view of action that the author chooses to present to the reader. And the three categories of this view of action are aoristic, imperfective, and perfective. Say the six elements again, please. They are person, number, mood, voice, tense, and aspect. And each one of those, person, number two is number, number three is mood, number four is voice, number five is tense, number six is aspect. Person, number, mood, voice, tense, aspect. All of those things, you have to understand what they are. No problem, Tony. What they are, what they are made up of, and how to use them. It's like using rules to understand or break down Koine Greek verbs. And, you know, you gotta hammer in the rules into your brain. All right. And then aspect, that's the last element that we looked at, has three categories to that: aoristic, imperfective, and perfective. We saw that, a couple of times already, but we are going to go over that again. Believe me, like I opened up today, we went over about eight or nine chapters in the text, but I'm telling you that, that's it, Tony, person, number, mood, voice, tense, aspect, right. These first few chapters of this text are like loaded down with things that we have to get down. And I realize that myself, more and more as I look at it, that we can go over this, but these are all like really important. That's true. What you wrote there is true, Tony. These are really important foundational things we have to get down cold. Really. And if we get like chapters 1 through 4 down cold, we are going to be in nice condition. You know, there's more. That's what I said. He gets to things fast and hard. I realize that. And maybe that's because I'm not a linguist. You know, I took French in junior high school for a year and a half. I know how to count to 10 after a year and a half of that. And then I took classical Greek in college. And I took that for a year and a half, and I learned the alphabet, and I don't know what, and I got B pluses. So, there you go. But, like I said, as far as the New Testament, this text and work what we got is just awesome. It's great. Okay, so, let's turn bottom of page 14. Following grammatical rules, draw a line from the negative adverb to its corresponding verb. Okay, this is talking about... Cute, thank you. But it's true. This is talking about how to use negatives, and that's on page 22. Alright? So, you draw the line to the form luo. And you look on page 22, and you look up under the... Under number 24, the mini lesson, and it states right down there. Thus, uluo means I do not loose. All right, uluo. There's the answer. Okay. Uk goes with akuo, and that's also on page 22. Uk akuo. You see that in the middle of the chapter there, under number 24. Uk akuo. Uk akuo, I do not hear. This is negative forms. And then the last one, uks, goes with hetoi madzo. That's how you pronounce that. It's with a rough breathing mark. Hetoi madzo. Hetoi madzo. It's a DZ sound in the zeta. Hetoi madzo. Uk hetoi madzo. Uk hetoi madzo. And you look on page 22 up there, and it means, I do not prepare. Okay, so, where are we at now, and do you want to go on for another 10 or 15 minutes? Alright, so... do you guys want to go on, or do you want to come back next week? You're going to have to say something. Okay, next week, anybody else? Go for it. Next week. This takes more time. Go for it. Something. All right, do you guys mind if we... Laughing. Do you guys mind if we come back next week? Yes or no? No, whatever. Okay, yes. You guys mind? All right, I don't want to play you the teach. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to go on. Next time is fine. Oh. Yes, next week for me. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll come back to page 15 next week, next weekend. And, you know, because you're going to have to write... Next week, we're going to go through these drills, and it's going to take some writing down. All Tony can do is bowl. Okay, well, that's... Hey, Al Zinkel on here is a good bowler too, Tony. Yeah, Al Zinkel's very good. Used to be in a league with him. Yeah, see, next week we can come back and we can see, because now we're going to get into suffix endings. All right, and I'm going to have to spell these things out if you're going to get them correctly. So, you know, I wish I could, I don't know, you know, eventually I can copy. Well, we'll go over these correct answers, like 15, page 15, turn over to page 16, where it talks about translations. I mean, that's going to get a little complicated there. And then on page 17, 18, it's talking about analyzing and parsing. You know, that starts to get involved. I mean, you know, we might not get out of chapter 3 for a few weeks, so it could take 4 lessons to get through chapter 3 in the workbook. But what we'll do next time is at least we'll get just do this if you can. Do at least do page 15, 16, and 17. Okay, 15, 16, 17. At least do those, and maybe, I'll tell you what, 15, 16, 17, see, number 18, if you look at that, you know, that's that in itself is an interesting page, but then if you start looking at pages 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. They're all similar. You know what I'm saying? So, at least what we can do is at least do 15, 16, and 17 for next time. And then we'll go from there. All right? So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get back on the horn next weekend at the same time. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we'll go over those three pages. So, I do know a couple of things. Yeah, you say you don't know anything, Mike. Okay, I get that a lot from TSB, the Southern Brotherhood, and that's okay. But what I realize is, if you start getting these things down, you're going to say, hey, TSB rules. Well, we don't think that's true. We want truth on here, Tony. And you start getting these things down, and hey, you guys, you are learning the Koine Greek language. You are. I mean, these things that we're learning, they're going to stick in your heart and mind. And whenever you hear somebody talking about them, bam-o, you are going to know what they're talking about. And I really think this is great. I'm enjoying it more and more each week myself. So, the Southern Bowling Team. Okay. Well, I thank you guys for being here. I really do. It'd be really weird if nobody was here. So, I thank you for that. And we'll see you next weekend, next Saturday, same bat time, same bat channel. And I don't think, we did ran over too much at 7:37 here, and love you guys, and the Lord will end with a word of prayer to the Almighty. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our calling. We are adopted sons of the Most High God. Yes, we are. We've been chosen out and predestined by the Father before the casting down of the material universe and actually, the casting down of the earth, if you want to put it that way. We've been chosen by the Father before that occurred. And we know that we are chosen sons of God. We know that we've been given a gift of right division in the Scriptures. We know that there are different callings in the Scriptures. We know the working of the Father through the Holy Spirit, the person of God with which we were sealed. All of these things are mighty things. Mighty realities in our lives that without you, dear Lord, we would know nothing about them, because we walk in a dark flesh, a sinful flesh, and we walk in a dark world that doesn't want to know you. But certainly we do, and certainly we love you, and we love each other in the Lord, and we thank you for our lives in this time, and for all the prayers that we have for those that are in need of you, especially amongst those that believe, I will say. I think that's scriptural, that we would pray for them and we would leave their needs upon your doorstep. Many songs say that you know what's better for us than us. Sometimes that's hard to understand. Sometimes your plan is hard to understand because it's different from the way our piddly human minds think. But we know that you created this world, and this world is under your control no matter how it seems. This world is going to be judged eventually, and man's day is going to quickly be over. And we thank you for this knowledge and for us coming together amongst this truth. And we pray for zealousness in your Koine Greek. In the name of our Lord and Savior and Head, amen.